Thank you. Good morning. So good to see you. Take your hymn book today, if you would. Find page number 21. 21, the great song of praise. Oh, that I had a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Let's stand. Lift your voice. Page 21. God bless you as you sing.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning and for the privilege you give us to come together. Father, we give you honor and glory, for indeed you are worthy of our praise. Lord, thank you that we can set a time as a church to come together and just rejoice as we see the day approaching, but we're challenged through your word, not through opinion, but your word. Lord, thank you for the privilege you give us to entrust us with the gospel. Father, that as this month we have an emphasis in missions. Missions is throughout the world, but it starts right here in our neighborhood. And Father, I pray that you would challenge us as your body of believers for the goal of the year of people, 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 that we need to spread the gospel right here in South Florida and throughout the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came as a man. He died on the cross. He was buried, but yet he resurrected again. And through him, we can have a personal relationship with you, our Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for loving us in such a great way. Thank you for allowing us this privilege of knowing and loving one another. And Father, may we rejoice in this day. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Please turn around and greet those around you.
So good to see you. Welcome to Plantation Baptist Church. So delighted that you have chosen to gather with us this morning. And I love it when watch you walk around the auditorium and shake hands. And then just a little hot up here. And then most of you can't remember where your seat is. And so you kind of come back and try to find all of that. But it's wonderful. If you're visiting with us today, we want to extend a special welcome to you. Thank you for being in our service. I'm not sure how you heard about us or how you found us, but there's a card in the pew in front of you. If you'd be so kind, is to reach out and grab that card and put it in the offering plate when it goes by. That gives us a record of your attendance, whether you found us online or somebody invited you verbally or personally or you drove by on the bus benches. However God used to get you to Plantation Baptist Church, we are grateful that you are here. Let me welcome some special guests that we have with us. We have two of our missionary families that will be speaking tonight that are with us. I saw Brother Davis. Brother Davis, have your family stand. And where's Brother Dathan Marshall? Brother Dathan, where are you at? Why don't you stand there in the back? This is the Davis family headed to Myanmar, and that's Brother Dathan Marshall headed to Argentina. And we're delighted to have these two folks with us, these families with us. Welcome them. I know Brother Dathan to be a handsome man, so all you single ladies, he's married. His wife just didn't make it down with him. She's going to have a baby, and with the Zika and everything, her doctors told her to stay where she was, and so we got the lesser part, but we'll take Brother Marshall. That's fine. And I want you to also welcome the Freeman family. Brother Freeman, stand if you would right here. Missionary to Argentina, this is Brother Richard Todd's son-in-law and his family. Yeah, have the whole family. That's their daughter, their children. Welcome them. They came in to meet Mom and Dad and to enjoy some time, and we're delighted to have them in our service as well. Man, it's a great time of year to be coming to Plantation Baptist. We're in the middle of our missions month. I'll be preaching about that. We're headed toward our anniversary Sunday. Now, next Sunday, this service starts at 10:30. We have one service next week, 10:30. No Sunday school, no 8:30, no evening service. This is us celebrating our 54th anniversary, being chartered as a church. We'll bring the 8:30 service together, the 11 o'clock service together. What time does church start next week? 10:30. It'll go to about 6 o'clock that afternoon. You'll have a great, wonderful time. I'm just kidding about that. So we have a lunch that is available afterwards. I'm asking you to buy your tickets today. The lunch menu is in the bulletin at $6. It actually costs double that, but we're only charging half. You can have what's all there, everything there, as much as you can eat. I'm sure you'll be full. We'll have the room set up. And just spend some moments with us at 10:30. The service should get over at noontime at the latest. And then you'll be able to rejoice and celebrate what God has done. Please, if you're visiting with us, you've been visiting our church for some weeks, this would be a great opportunity for you to stick around and get to know some of our people. I know that you'll be richly blessed for that. 54 years as a chartered church, that's to God's glory. And we got a lot of special music planned, preaching just a celebration kind of message that honors God and praises God for his faithfulness. And I'm hoping that you will be part of that service. Other announcements that are in the bulletin, there's some thank yous there, some frequently asked questions about our faith promise cards that are there. If you're going on the marriage retreat, the deposit is due. We do have some spots. If you'd like to go last minute, you'd enjoy that wonderfully. Don't forget, if your children are in our Sunday night choir, they're singing tonight. They need to be in the fellowship hall by 5:15, ready to go. Hard to believe, but we started children's Christmas program practice today. Can you believe that? And so if you want your child to be in our Christmas program this year, then they need to be here at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. That's when we are practicing. That's the best time for us as a church. And so we would love to have your child. We got a great program this year. Please have them here at 10 o'clock. And regular attender or member, or if you're a guest and you'd like them to be here, that would be fine. Speaking of being somewhere, I would love for you to put on your calendar next Saturday at 2 o'clock. That will be the memorial service for Brother Richard Stone. Brother Richard Stone went home to be with the Lord on Thursday night at 9 o'clock, surrounded by his family. And we love Brother Richard, and he's with our Lord. And according to Carolyn, and I don't know if she stayed or not, she was in Sunday school with the children, he died with a smile on his face. And that's just evidence that I just think that the Lord Jesus showed up to take his child home. I'm so glad that when I die, I know where I'm going. If you know where you're going, say amen. Amen. Now, I don't necessarily want to go there today, but I'm glad I know I'm going. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but through the God's grace and His mercy and the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we get to go there. That's a message that ought to be published across the lands. I want you to listen as the choir sings their song about the gospel going across the lands. God bless you, choir, as you lift your voice. Choir, the cry that rings out across the lands. I was sitting there wondering how many people in this room were saved outside of the United States. You were saved outside of the United States of America. Few in the choir are at least saved. There we go. There's outside. You know, there's one gospel. It's one Lord. One faith, there's one baptism. The Jesus that saves you in America is the Jesus that can save you anywhere in the world. What a joy, what a delight. It's that name that needs to be carried to the world. Page number 235. The hymn writer wrote about taking the name of Jesus with you. It'll be your joy and comfort. Take it where'er you go. It's a precious name, a sweet name. It's the hope of earth and the joy of heaven. I love to sing this hymn. Let's stand. Page 235. Take the name of Jesus with you. Singing. Let's dismiss our children up to the fifth grade to junior church. They'll enjoy their class. I thank you for bringing the young people to the service. We'll have our prayers of the people. Our men will wait on us for our offering. If you would pray with me before we pray, I would like to welcome back Brother Bert Griner and Dolores. I see you all the way back there. We prayed for you. God spared your health and your home, and we give him wonderful glory. He don't look near as ugly as you said he did, Dolores. The Lord's touched him. There we go. All right, let's have our prayer. Heavenly Father God, precious name, that's the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That name that is above every name. That name at one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. That name whereby under heaven men must be saved. There's no other name. Lord, I love to hear the name of Jesus exalted. Pains me so deeply to hear it spoken in vain or vanity or cursing. To the born-again child of God, the name of Jesus is a sweet and precious name. He's our hope. He's the hope of earth, and oh, he's the joy of heaven. Lord, our brother realized that in person as he went to be with you this week. Richard Stone is with his Savior. And the testimony he left on that old body that was being wrenched by disease and difficulty was he forced a smile on his face. I know, Lord, you just came and you said it's time to go home, Richard. He didn't go home because he was a good man or what he did. He was able to go home because he believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. That is the message that is for every man and woman. That is the message that needs to be published across the lands. That is the message we're concentrating on today. Holy Spirit of God, I would beg you to fill me with your power. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to guard my words today. I'm afraid of my words. I'm afraid that I'll say something I shouldn't or not say what I should. And so the people will understand in a few moments, but I'm begging you to guard my words today. May they be fitly spoken. May they be seasoned with grace. And may they have power because they come based upon the authority of the Word of God. Touch every heart today. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for loving us first. For in Jesus' name we make our prayer. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated as we continue our time of worship by the bringing of the tithe and the giving of the offering. If you're our guest, once again, would you please put that card in the offering plate? That just blesses us so richly. Listen as the ladies sing about sending the light and then the reigning Savior.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Some were meant to
Amen. Thank you, ladies. What a great message that song beautifully delivered. Send the light and he reigneth. Boy, we have reason to send the wonderful light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles this morning, please find, if you would, the sixth chapter of the gospel of John. John chapter number six will be our text. I do not anticipate leaving the sixth chapter of the book of John, although I will trust as the Spirit of God makes his way through our service. I would also ask you, if you are a member of our church or you are a regular attender of our church, would you please have near your Bible, somewhere where you can glance at it, also your Faith Promise missionary offering card for our members and our regular attenders. If you're visiting with us today, let me just extend a special welcome to you. You have come on a unique Sunday where you're going to get to sit in on a family meeting. Aren't there some times in your life when you would love to be a fly on the wall? Not in our house, because we despise flies. Flies on our wall go to a Christless eternity very shortly. But you're able to be a fly on the wall today, and you're able to, through the message and through John chapter 6, you're able to see God's heart and love for your soul. And I want you to understand something. If you're in this building today, and all the people that God has ever created, God loves your soul. He's concerned about your soul. The Bible says, what doth it profit a man if he would gain the whole world but lose his own soul? The soul of man is precious to God. It's precious to God for numerous reasons. One of those immediate reasons would be God created your soul. Pastor, how do I know I have a soul? Because you have a you. What do you mean by that? Your soul is you. Your soul is not your body. Hallelujah, I'm not my body. The older and the balder that I get, I'm glad that I'm not my body. My soul is that part of me that is my psuche, is that word. It's my mind, my emotion, my will, my personality. It's you, man. It's the you we know. It's the you with your sense of humor. It's the you that we love. It's the you with your weird quirkiness. That's your soul. The Bible says that man was created body, soul, and spirit. The spirit of man died the moment Adam sinned in the garden. And that fellowship and that relationship was cut off, and we were born dead in our trespasses and sin, and our spirit was dead. Therefore, every man and every woman must be born again. Born again is the word that means born from the Spirit, born from above. That's the only way that you'll know eternal life. That's the only way that you'll be in heaven, is that your spirit must be birthed. How does my spirit become birthed? As the Spirit of God enters you upon belief upon the Lord, he quickens or makes alive your spirit. That part of you that's able to fellowship and worship and commune with God has been quickened by the presence of the Spirit of God. If that has happened to you, say amen. Amen. But you have a soul. And the soul of man fell under the condemnation of sin. The body fell under a death sentence as far as it began to age. But that soul was eternally lost. That's the part of us that is under the wage or the heaviness or the burden of that sin. That soul, that eternal part of you that must be redeemed. And hallelujah, God loved every man and every woman's soul. And he sent redemption for our soul in his son, Jesus Christ. And so God loves your soul. And the people of God should love the things of God. Therefore, If I am a born-again Christian, then what God loves, I love. What God hates, I hate. What God exalts, I want to exalt. What God demands that I want to surrender. If I know God and He lives within my heart and within my body, then the things of God that He loves, I love. And if God loves men's souls, then the born-again Christian ought to love men's souls. And so, if you're visiting with us today and you're not a believer upon the Lord Jesus, you've never been born again, you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hear today how much God loves you, what God has done for you, but you're also going to hear the desire of a body of people that want for you what we have. Anybody who is saved wants everyone around them to be saved. That's one of the ways you know you're a Christian. If you can go to the ball game and never think for a moment, whoa, there might be some lost people here. If you can go to the mall, I don't know about you, but especially at the Sawgrass, it's filled with unbelievers over there. I think they all show up on Saturday, by the way. And so, you know, as when you're in a group of people, you're thinking about when you run across people, you know, maybe not all the time, but sometime in your mind, when you're on a plane or you're sitting by somebody, you begin to think about people's eternal soul. And the church of God, we have a desire for everyone we know and everyone we love to know and love our Jesus, because He's the hope of earth and He's the joy of heaven. 2 weeks ago, a message was preached to you entitled, What If? What if the people that God is bringing into your life, what if that is your mission field? And you were preached wonderfully about your responsibility to note those around you for the sake of the gospel. Last week, I preached a message entitled, Can You See It? I went to the book of Romans and I showed you where Paul was burdened for his nation to be saved. And by the way, let me just say this. The church of Jesus Christ should not develop a hatred toward its nation. Okay? Now, you're going to find out very quickly that not everybody in America loves America. We're finding that out, are we not? It's just the same way within a church. Not everybody that attends a church loves their church. Should. But we're going to find out now as really the fiber and the loyalty of our nation is being tested. We're really going to find out the level of people's understanding. We're going to find out where people really stay. And there's going to be opportunity that because somebody doesn't agree with us or somebody does this or that, you got to be careful to guard your heart. God does not see people as Africans or Americans or Europeans. God sees the souls of men and women. Okay? So yes, He created people, and the people have different countries and origins and cultures, but He understands that man is a living soul despite the color of his skin. And God gave His Son for every living soul upon the earth. And so as we love the things that God loves and we love the people that God loves, Paul had this burden for his nation to be saved. Our nation needs to be redeemed. And Paul said now the way that his nation was going to be able to call upon the Lord was that it had to be infiltrated with missionaries. And he said that in order for somebody to call upon the Lord, they had to believe upon the Lord. They had to hear the message in order to believe. In order to hear, somebody had to preach to them. In order to preach to them, somebody had to be sent. Now, you had calling, believing, hearing, preaching, and sent. In this order over here, and when you got to Acts chapter 13, we showed you last Sunday night how the church sent missionaries. The missionaries went and they preached. The people heard and the people believed. So Paul said in order for them to believe, they got to hear. In order for them to hear, somebody's got to preach to them. In order for somebody to preach to them, they got to be sent. Paul said now the sending is the church's responsibility. So I will say this. If you call yourself a Christian, you will stand before God and give an account for who you talk to about the Lord. you will. Pastor, I've never opened up my mouth to anybody about the Lord. Then you're going to have to stand before the Lord and say, I didn't do it to anybody. We're going to give an account for how we participated in sending out the gospel around the lands. Now listen, I want to say something. I beg God to guard my words today. But sometimes you have a mentality, not you, but people have a mentality that, well, just getting to heaven will be enough. Well, I would like to respond this way. That is the most selfish statement you could possibly make. If you think just getting to heaven is all that is required of you, then that mentality is selfish. When you stand before the Lord, honestly, when you get up there, if you're saved, you are not going to want to stand there not having served the Lord as well. And you're going to stand there empty-handed? Are you telling me that your man, sir, you're going to be in heaven and your wife and your children in hell? And that's not going to bother you? Are you out of your mind? Are you telling me, lady, that you never opened your mouth to tell your sisters what God has done for you, and they're going to be in hell and you're going to stand there and it's just going to be enough for you? You know, well, Pastor, the Bible says there'll be no tears in heaven. No, it doesn't. Read your Bible. The Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears. Well, if God's going to wipe tears away, they have to be there. So, Christian, you think you're just going to stand before the Lord redeemed, and it's going to be great to be redeemed, but you're going to have to give an account for the influence you had on this earth for the Lord. Well, Pastor, you know that God decides who goes to heaven and God decides to go to hell. No, he doesn't. And that is a lie and an attack against the character and integrity of God. That is a sin of unbelief against God's word. God wants all men to be saved. Okay? So the responsibility for the church is that we see that the gospel is preached to our own nation, to our own homes, to our own families, but that it's also preached around the world. Now, God could have written it in the sky. God could have sent shooting stars. God could have done whatever he wanted to do, but he decided to use you and me as the church. So this is our responsibility. So in our church, we are burdened to see that people hear the good news. So we meet here on Sunday morning. We meet here on Sunday night. We meet here on Wednesday night. In a few days, we're going to begin to put up Christmas lights. In a few days, we have a fall festival. We have Awana programs. We have vacation Bible school. We have men's meetings. We have ladies' meetings. We have witnessing opportunities. I mean, we're trying to tell everybody we know about our Jesus, because we want people to be saved. And we're sending the gospel around the world. Now, one of the ways that we're involved in that is through Faith Promise Missionary Giving. This is your card, church. You understand this. Our church right now supports about 80 missionaries. We support a missionary at about $150 a month. This year, we will probably, just off of this card, send about $190,000 to $200,000 invested in missions around the world for the souls of men and women. That should get a two. God be the glory. Amen. All right. Now, we got six families that have visited us. Two are here now. Brother Dathan, the Davis family, others. I got six families that I think God wants us to support there. So $1,800 a family a year. We need another $11,000 this upcoming year on top of what we've done just to get this six. There's 600 behind them. My phone rings off the hook. Men and women who are willing to go, called by God to go around the world to preach the gospel. But in order for them to get over there, we've got to send them. Now, we can't send everybody, but we can do our part. Amen? All right, so what we have done is we pray, God, what would you want us to do with missions? We make our check, we tear this out, we put it in the offering plate, and this is how we send missionaries. In dependence upon God and by his help, I will endeavor to give by faith to the missions program of Plantation Baptist Church. This is for our members, our regular attenders, not our guests. What I want our guests to understand is we put our money where our mouth is. We put our money where our mouth is. And I know the members of this church, we got big mouths. I'm included. All right? So we put our money where our mouth is. Why? Because we want people to be saved. I don't respond to this question. Do you do this? Do you give this? Pastor, I've been coming to the church a year or two. I'm a Christian. Do you do this? Well, I give in other ways. Fine. No problem. Give in a billion other ways. But I can show you from the Bible where any member of a church ought to give to missions through their local church. You can give to other places. Fine. Don't negate what you do through your own local church. And so I want to show you today and preach you to a message today and give you a little testimony on entitled, Will You Give It? Will You Give It? And it comes from the sixth chapter of the book of John. And I just want to show you a simple illustration of what God can do in and through one person who will believe him and trust him and who will give so the gospel can be go around the world. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he, Jesus himself, knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a, what are those two words, class? Lad here, little boy. Not a grown man, not an employed man, not a full-time man, not a part-time man, not a one-income family, not a two-income family. There is a boy here, which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. If I could give you a mental figure of what that looked like, just picture a Lunchable. I know now. I know you parents that have kids that go to school. How many know what a Lunchable is? Don't ever eat one as an adult. It'll give you stomach cancer for sure. Five little loaves, two small fishes like sardines. Andrew said, "But what are these among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were, what's that word, class? Filled. He said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now don't think of half-eaten fish and breadcrumbs. He's talking about gather up the whole fishes that were not eaten and gather up the whole bread that was not eaten. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that they had eaten. Powerful and wonderful miracle that the Lord Jesus has done. It's the only miracle that is recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, John chapter number 6. In order for you to understand the jump from just a little boy giving his lunch and a good Bible story to affecting your life as a grown adult, I need to set up to give you a little setting. In verse number 1, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus did this. When this miracle happened, it was a very tumultuous time in the Galilean region, a very tumultuous time in the nation of Israel, both spiritually and politically. They were living in dangerous times. This miracle takes place on the heels of the beheading of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was a hero in the nation of Israel. He was the prophet that was sent to precede the Lord. And John the Baptist was a man who had guts, spiritual guts. They cut off his head because he had guts. Here's what John the Baptist did. The king of the land, Herod, was a fool. And Herod wanted his brother's wife. And he wanted her. She wanted him. John the Baptist heard about the sin of the leadership of his nation. And he went to the leader of the nation. He said, "You're sinning against God and this isn't right." There used to be a day when people would stand up to the sin of the leadership of our nation. Anymore, we just cower to it. The church is what God wanted to use to stand up against the sin, but now the church has no longer got any backbone. Let me tell you something. Our church has backbone. And we will preach the word of God. And we love the word of God. Amen. Women are scheming. Forgive me, ladies. Women, when they want something, they want it bad. Nothing will stop them. Nothing was going to stop this woman. She wanted her brother's brother. And she hated the fact that John the Baptist was in the way. So this woman, this is the depth of debauchery that this woman stoops to, sends her daughter in to see the king. She tells her daughter, "When you go in to see the king, I want you to go in there and I want you to perform a dance. This dance will get his attention. Once his attention has gotten, he's going to ask you anything you want. When the king says whatever you want, tell the king, we want John the Baptist's head on a silver platter." So the little girl goes in there. She does her dance. The king, like a fool, gets all riled up and he says, "Whatever you want." And the little girl says, "I want that prophet's head and I want it on a silver charger." And so that wicked king, with a little bit of guilt in his heart, but he still did what he was going to do, sent some fool down with a sword, took the man of God, leaned him over, and took that holy man of God and set his head on a charger and walked himself into that wicked debauchery and said, "Here you go. Here you go." When the head of John the Baptist was put on the silver charger, it sent shockwaves through the people. John the Baptist, he didn't much care about his life. He understood that Jesus to be the preeminent of his life and Jesus could do whatever he wanted to do. Matter of fact, John the Baptist said about Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John the Baptist was willing to give his life for the Lord. God give us people willing to give their lives for the Lord. At the same time that that happens on a spiritual level, there is a revolution developing. There's a movement developing in the nation of Israel. They're so sick and tired of Roman rule. And they've heard about this man, not like any man they've ever known before. They've heard about this man who people that are blind and he touches their eyes and they can see. They've heard about this man that just with his voice says, "Rise, walk, and be healed." They hear about this man that can touch people's ears and the deaf receive their hearing back. And they hear about this man that's doing all of these miracles. And there's an energy that begins to develop as a leader is beginning to step forward. And so when Jesus takes this little boy's lunch and he magnifies it over and he feeds some 20,000 people, those 5,000 men became soldiers. Those 5,000 men became an army. Those 5,000 men that were being led by some of the leaders began to think, "Now is our chance." John says that they were coming to Jesus and they were going to take Jesus by force and they were going to charge Rome when they had an unstoppable leader and they were headed for a political coup and revelation and they were going to revolutionize what they were doing. Jesus is able to read their mind. Think about that for a second. Jesus can read your mind. To some of you, it's an easy read. Jesus knows what they're doing. Jesus knows it's not his time. And so he just disappears from their sight. You've got a shockwave being sent through the Christian community. You got a coup developing politically. Man, when you put religion and politics together, you got a bomb about ready to go off. And now Jesus finds himself in the midst of this multitude, verse number 2. Whenever you have this kind of energy, you have this kind of arranging of people. And Jesus now has a multitude that is following him. Mark said that he looked out upon this multitude and he had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus now, he understands the shockwave. He understands the political revolution here. He understands what the evil forces that are at work. He understands also the timing of his Father. And he's able to orchestrate all of this that is going on. And he looks on the multitude of souls and he's broken and he's burdened. He says, because they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost and they're going astray. And by the way, let me just tell you something. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. If you're here today and you're without the Lord and you've never been born again, you've never put your faith and trust upon him, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And as we were in our lost condition, the shepherd is seeking lost sheep. Jesus is looking for you today. You're not here without any accident. You're here because God wanted you to be here so you could hear how much Jesus loves you, what he's done for you, and he wants to be your Savior. Let me say to the Christian, our shepherd is good. Stay close to the shepherd, brokenhearted. When the sheep get away from the shepherd, they get in danger and they get vulnerable. The sheep thinks they know where they're going, and so they try to go their own way. But the advantage of the sheep is to stay near the shepherd. The shepherd is a protection. He's a provision. He's a provider. My goodness gracious. Pastor, we're under tremendous difficulty in our home. Get close to the shepherd. Pastor, we need provision. Stay close to the shepherd. Pastor, I don't feel well. Stay close to the shepherd. Listen, he's the shepherd of our life, man. And he's trustworthy. Stay close to the shepherd. Now, in this shockwaves through the Christian community, this powder keg politically, Jesus looks on a multitude and he wants to do a work. He wants to do a work of redemption in this multitude. Our world has had shockwaves go through it on a religious level. Our nation has the undertows of a revolution building up in it. Make no mistake, not standing for the flag is not a simple thing. Make no mistake, anarchy will be the theme of the last days. The Bible says, in the book of Judges, the nation of Israel, that when there was no king in the land, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You can see how the world has to go to the complete position of anarchy, and America is in the way. Because we are a land of republic, we're ruled by law, we have a direction here, and so we don't know anarchy, we know law and order, or we used to know law and order. So now, the very fiber of our nation is being torn apart. The Bible says one day one man will show up in the world, and that one man will bring the world to unity. That man will not be Jesus. Jesus cannot bring this world to unity because this world must surrender itself to a position of trust in the Lord. But the Antichrist will bring the world to a position of unity against the Lord. It's going to happen. Praise God, we'll be gone by the time it happens. Amen? But it's lining up. So as we look at our world, New York City, two pipe bombs, I understand, two explosives last night, 29 people injured, high alert. I understand a pipe bomb went off in New Jersey as well. Just because the world seems to be out of order and chaotic doesn't mean that God still doesn't want to do a work. Okay? So, Pastor, why are you telling us this? I'm telling you this so we stay focused. And our focus as the church is not in a religious system, nor is it per se in a political direction. Our focus is the Lord Jesus Christ and the souls of men and women. Our responsibility as a church is to still preach the gospel, to preach the gospel that still saves men and women, the gospel that is still true, the gospel that has no problem to it, and see that it's preached to everyone that wants to hear it. So that involves you and me. And the Lord wants to do a work. So here's my presentation to you. Little boy. No mention of his mom and dad, just little boy. He got up one day and he heard that Jesus was going to be in town, that there was this big meeting, and this prophet that was healing everybody was coming to be in the community, and the little boy wanted to go see Jesus. And so I'm sure his parents were like my parents. Anytime I wanted to go outside, good riddance. Go on. You're going to the neighbor's house? Fine. You're going to spend the night? Great. See you next week. Somehow he got a little lunch, and he goes down there, and there sits the Lord. Now, the Lord had been preaching all day, all day. And at the end of the day, the Lord, knowing human need, realized these people got to eat. Jesus is a great preacher. People that listen to him don't even think about food. You listen to me, all you think about is food. Nobody thought about food. And Jesus realizes they're hungry. And Jesus, wanting to show himself strong here, says to Philip, Philip, how are we going to get food to feed these people? Philip says, man, if we had a year's salary, that's what 200 pennyworth would have been, almost two-thirds year's salary, and we can't buy food for everybody. Andrew's been out, and Andrew's been, and he found this little boy that had this little lunch. And Andrew says, Lord, we got a little boy here. He got a little lunch, but man, what is that among so many? You ever feel like that? You ever feel like the world is so big that your little is nothing? You ever feel like the world's just passing you by and you're kind of just hanging on for dear life? You ever feel like that things are you don't understand or comprehend or whatever the case may be? Sometimes God's child can feel that way, but let me tell you something. If you're part of the church, you're part of the greatest organization on the earth that there is. And God has a purpose for you. And so the time came when the little boy was brought to Jesus. And the Lord somehow said to the little boy, son, can I have your lunch? And that little boy is a lot better than me. Yeah, Jesus, you can have my lunch. Now, I want you to remember something, and don't you forget what your pastor's about to say, because you may not believe me. The Lord wanted to do a work that day in the multitude of people. But the Lord needed that little boy's lunch. Pastor, God doesn't need anything. Yes, he does. He needed that little boy's lunch. He could have made food out of the stones. That's what Satan wanted him to do. He wasn't going to do that. Pastor, he could have made the sky fall with food. Yeah, he did that to the nation of Israel. It's called manna. But I want you to go back, if you would, please, to verse number 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself, what class? Knew what he would do. Way before that little boy ever showed up, Jesus knew he was going to use that little boy's lunch. And Jesus knew what he was going to do. And by the way, Jesus knew how he was going to reach the world through us, the church. And so Jesus needed that little boy's lunch because he knew what he was going to do and he wanted to use it. And so the little boy had a choice. Was he going to give the lunch to the Lord or was he going to keep it himself? All the excuses in the world the little boy could have made to keep his lunch. But instead of keeping his lunch, knowing Jesus needed his lunch, he was willing to give his lunch. Now, to the little boy, that was a great sacrifice. If I'd have been the little boy, I may have stuck a sardine in my pocket. I may have took one of them crackers and said, man, Lord, I got to eat too. Man, I'm going to keep at least two crackers with a sardine. And I was a little boy. I put everything in my pocket. My mom found maggots in my pocket one day. That was a Pentecostal feeling for her, I'll tell you. She found frogs in my pocket. She found one of those things that suck your blood. Leeches. Yeah, I used to walleye fish with leeches. And they got out in the refrigerator, and I was putting them in my pocket trying to keep them. Anyways, a horrible day for me, too. She found everything in my pocket. If I had been that little boy, I think I would have kind of put something in my pocket. But that little boy didn't put it in his pocket. That little boy, to the best that he could, made a sacrifice for the Lord. And he said, Lord, you can have the whole lunch. You know, I think there's a great missions lesson there. Now, I'm talking to saved people. If you're not saved, you're not going to get this. Sir, ma'am, if you tell me that Jesus lives in your heart, then you must understand he sacrificed for you. He died for you. He bled for you. They stripped him naked and beat him to a bloody pulp for you. Do you think that your salvation was just made through some simplicity? It took a man's life, an innocent man, who sacrificed for you. Now, I think we better remember that sacrifice that the Lord made for us. So here's my question. Do you have a spirit of sacrifice today? What in the world have you sacrificed for the Lord? Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I mean just that. What in the world has God ever called upon you and wanted from you, and you were willing to let the Lord have it in a sacrificial way? Don't freak out about this, but compared to most of the world, everybody in this room is wealthy. Right. Travel a little bit. Right. See how they live. Travel a little bit. Not the whole world. Some of the world's better than us. But travel a little bit. See what they eat. See how much money they make in a day. My friend, if you go home to a solid home, you got food in your belly, and you got a good, safe shelter, you have more than a lot of the world. And to the Christian, not only do we have physical things, but we have spiritual things. And yet we live our lives without any recognition of our responsibility to pass sacrifice along. And so here's this little boy. He comes to the point where he's going to make a sacrifice. Now, God didn't ask him to go home and get every ounce of food he had in his house. The Lord just simply asked him for what he had. And in his mind, he was willing to make a sacrifice. Now, the Bible says this, for where your treasure is, there will your... So the Bible says, the measure of the truth is money. Put your money where your mouth is. Money. And God said, you can judge a man's heart by where his money is. If his money is being spent at the saloon, do you go to saloons anymore? My grandpa used to go to a saloon bar, whatever we go to. Then a man loves alcohol. If his money is spent, wherever his money is spent on his own volition and invested, your heart is there. Now, God's not a fool, and God's not asking for you more than what God would want, but God has a heart for every person in the world to hear the gospel. And God wants to use his church to send as many people that are willing to go. Dathan, are you willing? Mark, you willing? Richard, you're willing to go? He's gone. These men are willing to go. They're willing to take their families. So let me ask you this question. Church, are you willing to go?
Mm-mm, not me.
Well, they are. So God says, okay, I've called them. They're willing to go. I didn't call you, or I did call you and you're not willing. So then you folks make sure that they get sent so they can preach, so people can hear, so people can believe. So the Lord comes to you and says, may I have your lunch?
Got to eat today, man.
How dare you ask me of that? Yeah, you can have a cracker. I'm going to keep the rest of it. You can have a little bit. You can get my whole lunch. What am I going to do? Oh, I was hoping you would think that. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes. Now watch this. As much as they, what class? And verse 12, when they were what? Filled. Did the little boy eat? Did the little boy eat?
Yes.
His plan was to eat a Lunchable. And the Lord fed him a lunch. Now I got a 15-year-old boy. He can eat 20 Lunchables at one time. I'm sure he's in here somewhere, son. I love you. But man, you can flat eat. That's all I can do to keep that boy fed. He'll eat a meal, a full meal, eat seconds, and grab a bag of chips to go to the couch. I guess I used to eat like that, but I don't know. The girls, they're close. Just kidding. They're a long way away. That boy can eat. So here's this little boy, 12 years old. He's got a little lunch. And the Lord says, can I have that? You can have a cracker. Can't have it all. But I need that. No, you'll find somebody else. That little boy would have missed out. That little boy ate bread and fish until he couldn't eat no more. That's a lot better than 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Don't you dare for 1 second let the devil tell you that God can't take care of you. And so how does this work, Pastor? This is how this works. If you're a member of our church, that means you must be a Christian. Can't be a member unless you're born again or you're dishonest. Born again, baptized, makes you a member of our church. How many are members of our church? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. So if you're a regular attender of our church, God wants you to be involved in this. Now, you love me and I love you and you let me preach truth to you and I preach truth to you. I'm telling you, if you're saved, you should be tithing and you should be giving to missions. To not do that is to hurt yourself. To not do that would be like that little boy saying, you cannot have my lunch, I'm going home. If that little boy would have taken his lunch and would have gone home, he'd have missed out on what God wanted to do in his life. So God comes and says, now, you have a tithe. That's my tithe. I want my tithe. But I want you to give money to help send missionaries. Now, that's between you and the Lord. You got to ask the Lord, church, what do you want me to give, Lord? Well, I'll tell you what he doesn't want you to give. He don't want you to give peanuts. He wants you to give with a spirit of sacrifice. So if you give 10 and 20 is a sacrifice, if you give 50 but 100 really is a sacrifice, or 100 and 1,000 is the, I don't know. But you ought to have the spirit of sacrifice. You have to determine that. I promise you this. God's going to give to you more than you give to him. Okay? The little boy didn't go without. The little boy didn't go without. God met his need. And God will meet your need. And we've got families that we got to get to the field. Let's get them there. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to report to you that as of last week, we made our goal for our Faith Promise missions commitment last year, and we have sent almost $200,000 to the field in a matter of 12 months. And God's people should say, to God be the glory. I made a point to tell you that after the offering so you wouldn't put yours back in your pocket there. Guest, you've come to a place that loves God, and we love His book, and we love the souls of men, and we're willing to put our money where our mouth is because we want you to know the Lord. I hope you feel that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, little boy taught us a good lesson, didn't he? He taught us that God can take just a little lunch and bless multitudes. We're not wealthy people. We just have a little bit. But if we will let you have what you want, you can take our little bit and you can do a wonderful work in the multitudes. You can do a wonderful work in our own heart, and our own life. That little boy ate till he couldn't eat no more and probably took a basket home with him. Because you always give back to us more than we give to you. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lord, you know my spirit. I've never been, for 11 years as the pastor of this church, have I been a manipulator. I'm not a manipulator. The people can do what they want to do. I don't know who does what. It's between them and the Lord. My responsibility is just to preach them the word of God. Now, Spirit of God, you got to convict and you got to lead. I know this. Every saved person ought to tithe and give to missions. They know that. They know that. They know that because you cannot have God living inside of you and not know that. Now, we might not do it. We may have an excuse. We may be afraid. Things may come up. But they know that. So, God, help us here. Help us here. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor, I see it, and I want to be part of it. I see it, and I want to be part of it. And I want God to use me in my little to send the gospel around the world. I will pray, and I will ask God what He wants me to do in the area of missionary giving. Pray for me, Pastor, that I will know His will in this. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Pastor, I will do this. I will pray. I will ask God. God bless you. Put them down. Not every hand. Matter of fact, less hands than I thought. Maybe you're already doing it and you didn't want to raise your hand. Or maybe it's a battle. I would just tell you this. Remember that little boy. God blessed him richly, more than he could take care of himself. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm not a Christian, but I see where God has a heart for me to be saved. I see where the church loves me and cares for me and wants me to be saved, and I want to receive the Lord. I want to believe upon Christ. I want to be saved. Don't embarrass me. Don't call my name, but pray for me, Pastor. Would you pray for me? If you want that, lift your hand. I'll pray for you. Pastor, pray for me today. God bless you. I see those hands. You can put them down. See that hand in the back. God bless you. Just a minute. We're going to have a song of invitation. The men of God will be here. The ladies of God will be here. If you've been saved, you don't need to come forward. But if you've never trusted Christ, if you've never received Him and you wanted to, come today and tell one of the people down front, I'd like to be saved. We'll take you to a room right outside the hallway. Take a Bible. Take 2 or 3 minutes and show you how to be saved. Christian, maybe you ought to come today and fall on your face and say, God, what in my life am I sacrificing
What in my life do you want? Lord, I want my whole life to be available to you. You direct me. Come and you pray. Heavenly Father, you know hearts and you've seen hands. I sense your presence, Lord, in the stillness of the room. I love that. I love that. This is a work that you have to do. And so I submit to that. Some raise their hand that they'd like to be saved. Give them courage to walk forward. Let's take a Bible and show them how to be saved. Others, as they come to pray about what you'd want them to do in missions, lead them, Lord, in a wonderful way. Protect us now. Protect this moment of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Our song is page number 597. Take my life and let it be. Men of God are here. Ladies of God are here. Brother Malcolm, you come. Page 597, verse number 1, you move as God leads you.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, not a Zulu for my king. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power thou shalt choose, every power that thou shalt choose.
I'm going to ask Brother Keith and his wife Joy just to stay down front. If you raised your hand to be saved and you didn't want to walk down during the invitation, you come down after the service and they'll be right there. They could take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Church, next Sunday is our anniversary Sunday. I want you to be here. I want to pack the place. I want to give God glory for his goodness. I forgot to tell you that next Sunday, we get the wonderful privilege to burn the mortgage of Plantation Baptist Church. I think our property is somewhere valued around $4 to $5 million with everything that's around, including the front that we put on, including all of the work you see out there so far, including everything. We are debt free. God has paid all that money. So we're going to burn that sucker. And I want you to be part of that. We're going to rejoice in what the Lord has done. Andrew said this, I know you got to go, but don't think about food. I'm going to La Bamba's. Don't beat me there. There is a lad here. I want God to know this. God, there's a church here. And we want to do what you want us to do. And God will bless us for that. All right, our song to go home, 410, Standing on the Promises. See you tonight. God bless you.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. God bless you. See you tonight.